Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank second quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of FinecoBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our second quarter 2016 results conference call. As you can see on slide five, second quarter net profit rose to 66.6 million, driving first half results at approximately 180 million. Two one-off items impacted the bottom line. One is the capital gain from the sale of Visa Europe amounting to 15.3 million gross, and 6.5 million of tax release after a positive closing of a very old tax dispute. Moreover, not considering these positive non-recurring items, the bottom line grew at 101 million year to date, the best semester of ever, almost 8% up year-on-year, a very remarkable result confirming our outstanding pace of growth considering the macroeconomic context and the challenging market conditions. Adjusted revenues increased to 273.6 million, +2.2% year-on-year, while operating costs, well managed as usual, declined to approximately 118 million, 1.5% less than year-on-year. Cost-income ratio, net of non-recurring capital gain from Visa transactions, went down at 43% as of June 2016, 2 percentage points lower than one year ago. On slide six, gives you an overview of our revenue generation distributed across the most important P&L items. Net interest income exceeded 123 million in the first half, up 6.7% year-on-year, despite the continuous worsening of interest rates, while boosted by strong volume growth. Sight deposits strongly increased 10.8% year-on-year as of June 2016. Fee and commissions down to almost 118 million with different underlying dynamics. On the brokerage side, fees declined compared to the first half 2015, as clients are more and more moving their trades towards over-the-counter products, whose profitability is reported in the trading profit line. Our internalization activity is structurally growing. In addition, 2015 benefited from a booming level of volatility, as you probably remember. In March 2015, for example, Fineco recorded the best month of ever over the last five years of brokerage. On the investing side, half-on-half comparison highlighted an increase to 77.6 million, sustained by the shift towards guided products and services, now at 51% on total asset under management, which offset impacts coming from challenging financial markets and sustained margins on management fees. On the banking side, as highlighted last quarter, fee income has been hit by new European regulation, which introduced a cap on the applicable commissions of credit cards starting from the end of December 2015. The healthy revenue generation has been enhanced by trading income, contributing with 47 million to total revenues in the first half, net of 15.3 million related to Visa transaction. Trading profit grew 12.5% year-on-year. Let's move to the net interest dynamics on slide seven. We are strongly focused in attracting the so-called transactional liquidity, a very valuable liquidity, very sticky and cheap, not driven by interest rates, but linked to the high quality of our services and banking platform. The evidence is the relentless progression inside deposit volumes, more than 19% when compared to 1 year ago, and plus 5.1% compared to the previous quarter. This increase, combined with dynamics in terms of deposits, more than offset the reduction in gross margins and the declining interest rates. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, average gross margins lowered from 1.53% in the first half 2015 to 1.38%, and 1 month Euribor went from minus 0.02% to minus 0.30% in the first half 2016. It's worth mentioning that Fineco has one of the lowest cost of funding in the Italian banking system. We are practically close to zero in the first half of 2016. On page 8, we updated the slide you usually find in our presentation to test the sustainability of interest income coming from the UniCredit bond portfolio. In the top chart, we summarize the yearly maturities of the existing portfolio with the related average spreads. For example, 1.7 billion expiring in 2017 with an average spread of 178 basis points. In the bottom chart, we worsened the underlying assumptions compared to the last quarter. Euribor 1 month at minus 0.35% till 2023 versus an average in 2015 of minus 0.07%. Expiring bonds and new core liquidity investment both in UniCredit bonds and European government bonds, and average spreads on new investments at 116 basis points. As you can see in the blue bubble of this chart, we need a compound annual growth rate of sight deposits of 9.5% in the period from 2016 to 2023, and to maintain the interest income deriving from the UniCredit bonds portfolio at least at 2015 level, offsetting the negative impact deriving from a reinvestment under the above-mentioned stress hypothesis. As usual, on the right of the chart, we show the deliberate growth. Sight deposits grew in the period 2011-2015 by 14%, 14.2%. Last year, more than 23%, and 10.8% in the first half of 2016. So even assuming a sharp deceleration of our growth, and we don't see any reason for that, we are confident of the sustainability of this component. Moving to slide 9, we have a detailed overview on cost. Cost evolution and the dynamics is confirming how efficiency is core in our bank. Staff expenses stood at 37.7 million in the first half 2016, up 0.5 million year on year, mainly due to an increase in the working force. Out of slightly more than 1,000 employees, 20 are working in the IT department, 20% are working in the IT department, and 70% in customer relationship management area. Other administrative expenses are down at 75.4 million year to date, of which almost 43 million development cost to support growth and 32.6 million running cost related to the effectiveness of our operational machine. On slide 10, on capital ratios, Fineco continues to show a low-risk balance sheet, confirming our strong capital position with a transitional common equity Tier 1 ratio of 22.68% and the common equity Tier 1 ratio fully loaded at 23.59%. On slide 11, we updated the historical series of Fineco total financial assets. The healthy expansion of new inflows is confirmed with 19.7 billion net sales since 2011, highlighting our strong commercial performance. Challenging market conditions affected the market performance in 2016, minus 2.4 billion, of which the most around 1.7 billion deriving from asset under custody. The related part to asset under management recovered to zero in July. Moving to slide 12, you can see a detailed overview of net inflows and total financials breakdown. Looking at 2016 year-to-date figures, solid net sales at 2.6 billion compared to 2.8 billion record high in 2015, confirming the attractiveness of a sustainable and healthy model, which focuses on organic growth and long-term customer loyalty. We are very satisfied not only by the level, but even more by the quality of our growth, carried out in a sustainable way and practically at zero cost, with no aggressive marketing campaign, several offers on interest rate, or overpaying recruitment to buy assets and clients. Worth mentioning the successful shift in place towards added value solution. In 2016, we gathered 1.7 million of net sales in guided products and services out of 0.3 million in asset under management. This includes a record month in June and leads at penetration rate on total asset under management to 51%, 9 percentage points higher than last year. Moving to personal financial advisor performance, they gathered 2.3 billion of net sales in the first 6 months, of which 1.7 billion in guided products, practically the whole amount. They are strongly committed in moving clients into added value solutions, helping clients in managing their wealth with a long-term approach and bearing in mind the client's investment targets. Our ability to grow organically is constantly delivered, confirming the soundness of our inflows. We believe that this business model, characterized by a low dependence from external recruitment is strongly sustainable in the long run. Now I would skip the following section that focuses on each single product area to move directly to page 20. In page 20, we can summarize with the concept a great potential to fully exploit. We highlighted three main areas we are working on that we believe will lead to a new phase of growth for the bank. The first one is a big step forward in direction of increasing the productivity of the network. The second one is a renewed focus on lending through the offer of mortgages and personal loans. And the third one is the expansion abroad. Let's go deep into details in the following slides. Underlying rationale behind the increase of productivity. In our view, the increase of productivity is mandatory for the industry to cope with expected pressure on margins, considering the lower expected returns and the increase of transparency asked by regulators, which, by the way, characterize the current environment. For this reason, we want now to move more aggressively on cyber advisory approach, leveraging on our best-in-class internal IT culture. The bank is able to take care of a more structured asset allocation based on algorithmic quantitative approach. In this way, the network can dedicate more time to manage the relationship with clients, better understanding their needs, how they evolve over the time, increasing the quality of the service and the customer experience. At the same time, this will allow financial planners to reach an increased number of clients while improving their productivity. A second step of this process, we recently set up a revolutionary platform for for financial planners called XNet, leveraging on all the valuable data we have on our clients as they massively use the transactional banking platform. We developed a new tool able to estimate the client's financial gaps and generate a personalized investment proposal. This will allow financial planners to hook customers not yet approached or not fully developed, enlarging the actively managed clients and increasing asset under management penetration. On slide 22, we have the underlying rationale on lending. We are strongly focused on revitalizing our lending activities. First of all, we will start by offering mortgages to our clients. With the recently approved law on insolvency laws that allows banks to collect the home and sell it directly without going through the court in case of delay in installment payment, new mortgages are becoming more appealing, reducing at the end the cost of risk. Worth mentioning that also the risk of prepayment is now extremely low, considering the current interest rates environment. I would like to remind you that Fineco has a positive track record on this business. From 2000 to 2008, we were able to generate over 7 billion of mortgages. We evaluate this business as a huge opportunity, considering, for example, that Fineco's clients own over 8.4 billion of mortgages in other banks. Our focus on lending will envisage also an acceleration on personal loans activity. Currently, a small portfolio of less than 200 million, but very profitable, being able to generate margins higher than 500 basis points. Within this framework and leveraging on a deep knowledge of our clients, we recently put in place a new instant approval platform for eligible clients' requests, a very efficient and real-time process. According to our analysis, out of over 1 million of total customers, we identified almost 230,000 clients potentially interested in personal loans. This renewed focus on lending will allow Fineco to further consolidate its relationship with the clients, to complete the range of products offered, and to sustain the net interest income. On slide 23, underlying rationale regarding the expansion abroad, we are now working to offer our banking, brokerage, and investing services to people resident in UK. Our one-stop solution will be provided directly from Italy, leveraging on Fineco's excellent operating efficiency. Our planned expansion in the UK is like a free option as we pursue this strategy with a very light cost approach. I would like to confirm that the recent Brexit decisions does not prevent our project, as it is, does not affect the current operational framework, which leverage on the European passport for at least 2 years. During this period, we have enough time to test the market and going forward. UK may be as well a perfect bridge to reach other not European countries in the future. Thanks you for your time, and we will now open the call for questions.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Alessandro, just one question on this mortgage initiative. Was there another reason besides the change in laws and regulations that made you reconsider your position on this topic? That would be the first question. And then the second is more strategic. We've seen reports on a possible disposal by the parent company of a further stake in Fineco. Since you are in the board of the parent company as well, I'd just like to have your opinion on this. Thank you.
Regarding mortgages, yes, you're right. Clearly, the the change in the insolvency law has made the mortgage business much more appealing, because as for the same reason we explained before, we expect an extremely low cost of risk. So now we are expecting a cost of risk in the range for the new production, in the range of 20 at the maximum 30 basis points. At the same time, clearly, the huge drop in interest rates and the quite constant and relentless tightening of spreads is making mortgage business not anymore exposed to the other huge risk, that is the prepayment. So now we expect that the new production is expected to face an extremely low risk of prepayment. This is not the case, for example, with other banks with very important stocks. So now, putting everything together, this has made again the mortgage business and a profitable and a very interesting business. And so it's a great opportunity for filling the last piece still missing in our one-stop solution offer. At the same time, it's a great opportunity for boost even furthermore our net interest income. And is as well efficient from a capital point of view, because mortgages are expected to absorb something 35% of capital, so that is not bad. Regarding the concept of the possible disposal, first of all, I want to be precise. I'm not in the board of directors of UniCredit, but I'm part of the EMC, that is the executive management committee. That it's a different body. We do not comment on rumors and speculation. As announced on July, UniCredit is undertaking a group-wide comprehensive strategic review, which we will take into account all business lines and activities. Until this review is not finished, we have nothing to comment on this point.
Thank you.
The next question is from Gianluca Ferrari of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, everybody. A couple of questions. The first one on the volumes we should expect on personal loans and mortgages, and a flavor about the spreads you expect to get, assuming you will remain, of course, in the UniCredit perimeter, so at current Core Tier 1 and current capital ratios. So is it fair to assume 500 million, more or less, of annual issuance in personal loans and a similar amount in mortgages, for example? And second and last question is on flows in July. We heard some quite bullish comments from your competitors. I was wondering if you also saw very robust flows in July as well. Thank you.
Yes. So regarding the volumes and and margins. So clearly we cannot give you a very precise indications, but we can say that probably on the personal loans, it seems a little bit too aggressive, that kind of numbers. At the same time, on the mortgages, it's absolutely, we think that it's not a big issue. Regarding the spread, as usually, Fineco is going to be characterized for be positioned. Clearly, we are not a discount bank, so we are not offering the best and the lowest available price, but as usual, we are going to be positioned in the range in which you can get the best ratio between price and quality. So, and regarding July, we can anticipate it has been an absolutely a very robust month, both in terms of net sales, that is definitely on the strong side. At the same time, it has been a great month also for the quality of the net sales, in terms of, again, a continuation of the robust process in moving in direction of guided solutions, and with the mix of the net interest now that is skewed definitely in the direction of asset under management products.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Matteo Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions. The first one on cost, in particular administrative costs, which were a bit better than I expected. If you believe that this, let's say, trend can continue also in the second semester. And the second question is on the UniCredit bonds that you buy, that you typically buy. If you can update us, if you bought recently some of these bonds and at which spread, just to have an idea of the spread on these bonds.
Yes. So let me start from the cost. So first of all, let me summarize the main drivers behind this great performance on cost. First of all, we have the financial planners stock granting plans that they are expected, as we anticipated the market, expected to keep on going down with a run rate of 30% year on year. So you can expect the same kind of pattern continuing also in the second part of the year. Then we have running costs for the good functioning of operational machine under control thanks to our operating leverage. Obviously, these costs are not fully fixed. So what I mean that clearly in terms of assuming that everything remains and remains perfectly mirroring the existing situation, there are no reasons that you cannot expect the situation going exactly in the same direction we experienced in the first half. Clearly, we have in the keys of acceleration in terms of growth and so on. Clearly, you can expect some uptick in variable cost, but overall, we remain absolutely confident in the capability of the bank to keep on leveraging on this great operational leverage, because I want to remind that the structure of Fineco is characterized by a complete and a modern and a continuously updated IT and operational platforms, making for us extremely easy to capture the continuous dividend that is provided by the evolution in technology. So, and this I want to remind is probably is one of the main points of strength for the bank, and in my opinion is even more important in an environment in which the financial industry is going to face and pressure margins. So to be extremely effective in the cost control is a huge support. Regarding the your question, though, we didn't buy UniCredit bonds in the second coup. And the last ones we bought has been on March 2024, and at that time the spread was 158 basis points over 1 month Euribor.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Alberto Villa of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a follow-up on what has been asked before. If you didn't buy UniCredit bonds, can you tell us which kind of investments are you currently considering as an alternative, and if in the future months you will evaluate the situation according to what the market is at the time, but which kind of investments you are going probably to favor in the future?
So what in the second coup we bought 250 million of Italian government bonds on April, on June 50 million of Italian government bonds, and at 3.5 year, and 50 million again of Italian government bonds 6 year. And also we bought 65 million of Spanish government bonds, 35 million, total amount of 150 million of Spanish government bonds.
In the second quarter.
One quarter. Going forward, we expect to renew the UniCredit bonds expiring, and to invest the excess liquidity in European government bonds.
Okay.
Clearly, we are preparing also the bank for the launch of the new lending activities that clearly are expected to keep on absorbing liquidity.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my follow-up question. Alessandro, apologies if I go back to the topic of the intragroup investments, and would there be a way for you to invest in other banks' debt, not only UniCredit's, and avoid that investment goes into the leverage exposure, which I think is a bit of the key point here. And then still on this topic, at what percentage in Fineco can UniCredit go before the favorable treatment of intergroup investments is removed, in your opinion? Thank you.
So many thanks for your questions. So because you are giving me the opportunity to better explain our future strategies regarding the management of liquidity. First of all, we have to remind that clearly we presented the new initiatives that are expected to start the new phase for the bank, and two out of three are expected to consume liquidity, because the first one that is related to the expected increase in productivity by the network financial plan is clearly the main outcome we expect is definitely an increase in terms of in the mix of our net sales represented by asset under management products. And so this is the first point that is moving direction to absorb the future produced liquidity. The second one is related to the new lending activities that are expected to not only clearly to have a positive impact on net interest income, but as well they're going to contribute to absorb liquidity. Regarding taking aside this, all the other activities are going to keep on being run as usual. So we have no change on the horizon. So we don't expect to change what we are doing. So until we have the existing regulatory environment remaining unchanged, clearly we are going to keep on investing on UniCredit bonds and so on. And so we are not planning in direction of investing in bonds issued by other banks, because doesn't make sense considering the existing environment. In terms of, from a technical point of view, the to be part of the group is not necessary. Clearly, you are not required to be above 50%. So, if you remain the controlling shareholder, you are going to remain in the group, and keeping on consolidating the subsidiary in your balance sheet. And so we have the example of Bank Pekao. At the moment, the group has a controlling stake of 40%, but is clearly the remaining part is floating on the market. So for this reason, it's pretty obvious that UniCredit is the by far the main controlling shareholder. And for this reason, is keeping Bank Pekao is considered as a part of the group and is consolidating the balance sheet. So this is more or less is the picture. This is not the case, for example, for Yapi. that is in which there is an another controlling shareholder that is a there is a joint venture. So you can go below 50% theoretically and remaining part of the group.
And sorry, on the leverage ratio.
The leverage ratio, which is the question?
The question is just, are there any other investments you could, in theory, make besides UniCredit bonds that would be computed at zero in the leverage exposure?
No. The only one that can be, that is excluded by the calculation of the leverage ratio is represented by intragroup.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Foti? There are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much. And as usual, we are in the keys. You need to dig a little bit more in numbers and so on. We are at your disposal also later on. Thank you.